Hello, this is Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM. Today, we're so happy to have Mr. Troy Lavinia, who is the co-founder and CEO of Stream Research Group, as our in-studio guest. Troy, welcome to the program, and thank you for coming on to talk about your exciting new project, but also to share your entrepreneurial experiences with our audience.
Thanks so much, Darrell. Darrell, it's great to be here.
Excellent, excellent. So to kick things off, could you share with our audience a little bit about your education, background, experience, et cetera?
Sure, yeah. So I went to University of Pennsylvania near your hometown, and from there went to New York City after graduation. Met my lovely wife, Erin, and had a couple of kids and had a few jobs there. And then about 12 years ago, started a company called Mosaic Research Management. So I've been doing entrepreneurship for about 12 years now. Okay. That kind of leads me to where we are today.
Beautiful, beautiful. So when we talked the other day, you're talking about creating a community of leaders around spirituality. Talk to us about how you came about this and your journey to get to this point. And also, we're going to jump into where you would like to take it.
Yeah, thank you. So I guess to start with a kind of a little bit about my background as it relates to spirituality. I've been practicing various forms of spirituality probably the past 20 years or so, starting with doing yoga on a regular basis. And then yoga led to meditation, and meditation led to learning about various forms of spirituality. And to me, just to be really clear about that terminology, what it means is really just the fact that we're all connected, and we have the ability to create things in our minds in the spiritual realm, and then create an environment where those things can unfold in reality. And it's something that I've learned to use not only in my personal life, but also in business. And you know, where my spirituality kind of intersected with business was for 12 years running the business, the first probably 6 or 7 years of that were typical entrepreneurship. So 12-hour days at least, grinding, reading business books, trying to figure out the perfect system for kind of forcing growth. And finally got to a breaking point about 6 years ago where we were trying to grow really quickly and hired a lot of people. And I think put in place a lot of people and a lot of systems, but it was, we didn't really nurture the spiritual essence of the business and the people who were in the business. And so therefore ultimately didn't have the success that we wanted. It wasn't a complete failure, and we had to kind of regroup and start over, start fresh. But what I realized during that process is that just like in your personal life, in business, you know, everything has a spiritual essence. And if you think about the essence of your business, the vision for the business, and the people involved with the business, and you create that in your mind, and then you nurture it with love and attention in the proper way to create an environment of growth, that growth will unfold really naturally. And so that's really what I've practiced pretty diligently the past 3 years since we started a second company, and had a ton of success with that company as a result. So working just a few hours a day on the business, the right people falling into place and the right methods falling into place, and have had some great growth and pretty wild success with that since then. And I think it all comes back to thinking about the business, creating the vision for the business and the organization in your mind, nurturing that with love and attention in a particular way, and then allowing that to unfold. I can talk more about that, but that's kind of the,
So let's unpack that. You know, it's interesting. I need to share with our audience. You contacted me on LinkedIn within the last couple of days, and said, "Hey, I'm getting together some leaders, entrepreneurial leadership around spirituality. Would you be interested?" And I immediately responded, "Yes." And then we got on a call, and then you shared with me that this particular business, you applied these principles and you just had tremendous growth. So let's unpack that a little bit for our audience in regards to helping them to understand what are the key principles that you learned and that you applied, and how do you balance that with the, I guess, the pull from the regular world? You know, people just want results. They don't care. They just want results.
Sure. Yeah. So I sat back. So maybe I'll just talk a little bit about the results that we had. So in 2 years, we started this business called Stream. The business itself started with a question. So often I find that you can use your logical brain to ask the right questions, and then the right answers will come to you when you least expect it. So I started with a question, which is, what's the most valuable and simplest subscription business that we can start for our clients? And I just kept asking myself that on a regular basis, day after day, for a few weeks. That led to conversations with clients of mine, and it led to an idea for this business, Stream. And it turned out to be a really good idea. And over the course of 18 months, we grew it from one employee, a colleague of mine that was helping me out with it, to 160 employees. And we grew it from $0 in revenue to about $5 million in ARR and subscriptions, and tremendously high retention of clients, and also high retention of employees. So over that time period, we didn't have any employees leave. So if you think about growing from one employee to 160, we did it all through referrals without any external hiring or recruiters, and we didn't lose anybody. I think ultimately we're able to sell the business to an acquirer, a strategic acquirer, for, you know, a really great return for everybody who was involved, a great situation. And really the way that we accomplished it was through, I sat down last September after we had accomplished this and started to write about it. I wanted to kind of collect my thoughts and see, like, wow, what just happened? This was 18 months, the wild success, and it happened more easily than you could ever imagine. And I believe it happened because of my dedication to these spiritual principles, or putting spirituality first in the business. And wrote a book, you know, 150 pages about what we did and how we did it. And what it allowed me to do is really sit back and codify what we had accomplished. And I found that it really came back to three key principles, and that's vision, flow, and surrender. So vision is kind of the spiritual essence of the organization and what you're trying to create in life. And that could be your vision for yourself or your vision for the business in this case. Number two, the second principle is flow. So creating an environment where you can allow things to happen, right? A hospitable environment. So if you think about a seed being planted in nature, it's either an environment that's conducive to growth or an environment that isn't. And so in your business, creating the right environment that's conducive to the growth of that business and the growth of those employees. And then the third was surrender. So surrender in a few ways, surrendering things that are blockers. A lot of people have kind of hidden blockers to the next level of success in their life. So all of us being aware of those things and being able to recognize them and give them attention and let them go. And also as a leader in business, being able to surrender control, because it's very hard for a business to grow as quickly as possible if you're, you know, constantly playing the hero and trying to control every situation. And so those are the three key principles. And when I looked around at all the different things that I had read about spirituality over the years, those are pretty consistent. Everything from, you know, Christianity to Islam to Tony Robbins and even Alcoholics Anonymous, like all of these different religions, self-help systems so to speak, leverage, you know, talk about these three principles. And so we have these universal principles that allow us to leverage this powerful force of growth. And if we can find ways to tie those into our business in a non-hokey, non kind of fluffy kind of way that does drive results and that's very tangible, then we can leverage that growth force. And that's what we were able to do at Stream. So I think that's, I guess, to answer your question, as long as we are very tangible and systematic about the practices we're using, and those practices tie back to the spiritual principles, in this case, vision, flow, and surrender, then you can have both. You can use those principles that are more spiritual in nature, but you can have very practical systems that create very tangible results because of them.
How did you find, it's interesting that the people that you brought into your organization were referrals. And how did you find the folks who were referred to when they came in? Did you present this is how we operate, this is our culture, or was it natural where they just felt at home because of the way that you approach them in your interview process? And let's talk about your interviewing process, your selection process, and your onboarding, because that's very interesting as well. As the millennials today, as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking about my daughter, Bailey, and her boyfriend, Wynn. He's 28, she's 25. And this is how they feel. I've always learned a lot from younger folks because I teach at Seton Hall as well. I'm teaching, folks who are 19, 20, 21, and old school way doesn't work. You really got to meet them where they are. But share with me about, what are some of the techniques that you, well, not techniques, that sounds like it's kind of contrived, but your onboarding, your interviewing and selection and onboarding process.
Sure. So, I think when you have great people and you've created a really good environment, and they're referring their friends, then the onboarding process and the selection process is really, really pretty easy. And I've done it both ways. Like I'm an advocate of kind of the old school, hit LinkedIn, find a bunch of people that look like a potentially good fit and create a funnel. Go through that interview process and hire people. And I think that there's a time and a place for that. But the way we were growing is really the people who were on the ground, operating our system when we needed more people, they, grabbed their friends and everybody, what we found was we had a proverbial line out the door. And so the hiring process in that case hasn't been very difficult. And the, kind of the interview and selection process hasn't been very difficult either. So, if we talk more about kind of how to create that environment, that it's that type of environment that's allowed that hiring to be pretty easy. What was the second part of the question? Sorry.
No, it's quite all right. It was a long diatribe on my part. I apologize for that. But let's talk about the challenges of having what I think is a very, very 21st century approach to the knowledge worker, where you're meeting them where they are. Have you had any experience where for whatever reason, someone who was hired didn't work out, or maybe they weren't as consistent as you thought they would be from their interview, and how did you deal with that?
In the past, in the past we had had several situations with Stream. We really haven't. And there, you know, I think there's one example, and I continue to talk with my colleagues about this and just make sure that everything seems good. But you know, we're at about 160 people now. And, you know, it seems kind of miraculous. Nobody's left. And we had to, like,
COVID, right? The great resignation hasn't hit your company.
No, and it's really amazing when you think about everyone I talk to, all the other entrepreneurs I'm friends with, we go out and we talk, and they're having a heck of a time finding people and hiring people. And then when they're about to make offers to people, those people get called back by their employers and given, you know, better offers. And so they end up staying put. And the people that, you know, people are leaving in mass. And so we've been really fortunate in that sense. We had to let go of one person recently who was just not a good fit. And it became really clear very quickly. And, you know, it was a mutual split after about 2 weeks. So that, you know, appeared to be a really somewhat painless process and a really obvious process as well. And we were able to make that decision quickly and cut ties with that person. And it was just because they weren't a good cultural fit. So they weren't a good fit for the organization.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Mr. Troy Lavigne. He's the co-founder and CEO of Stream Research Group. So Troy, do you do a standard performance review every year, or do you do that process, or you have a whole different process dealing with these great employees that you have, team members, if you will?
So we've just started doing that. So we've gotten to a point where we're the size where we've started doing that. So yeah, we're doing the standard performance reviews. I'm in the process of kind of handing over the business at this point. So I haven't been involved on the performance reviews yet, but yeah, we're in the process of starting to formalize those things.
And what are some of the key principles there that you're utilizing, or you're using, you know, the old school where you say, here are your objectives, how did you do, blah, 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 blah. Or is there something new and innovative that you've added to this because you're dealing with these extremely really good knowledge workers?
Yeah. So there's a system that we've come up with, an operating system for the business that we can talk about that I think leverages those three spiritual principles. And I think the key is that we're not doing anything that feels contrived or overly spiritual, because I think that can rub people the wrong way.
Right.
Several things that we're doing. One thing is that everyone has their own monthly goal. So we let everybody set their own goal each month. And as we know, the human minds are goal seeking machines, right? And if you give somebody, whether it's your son or daughter who's looking to accomplish something, or who you'd like to accomplish something, or an employee or yourself, a goal just for a month, and you're repeating that goal on a daily basis, you're thinking about it on a daily basis, you know, your mind is like a GPS system. So you think about Psycho-Cybernetics is a great book from Maxwell Maltz. You will naturally converge on that goal if it's something that you're thinking about on a regular basis. So that's one thing that we do that's kind of soft, and we don't even have any specific parameters around it. So we're not too rigid about how to set the goal. You know, I know all about SMART goals, but in my experience, SMART goals can, you know, having a goal that's time bound and specific and, you know, quantifiable,
measurable. Yes. Yeah.
There's a time and a place for that. But what I found in a lot of cases is that if the SMART goal creates too much pressure for somebody, then it's counterproductive, because that pressure is not a flow-based environment. It's not an environment that's conducive to growth.
Yep.
So what we found has been more successful is having everyone create their own goal each month, and it can be whatever they want it to be. We suggest that it starts with I am, because you know, that at least it's in the present tense, and it's something that, you know, they're starting to think about themselves as becoming or as having. right? Okay. So I'm loving accomplishing this, or I'm loving being this. And we don't require that they have any numbers on them or that they have any particular deadline. I say a lot of times you're not even going to accomplish that goal in the same month that you set it, right? The goal setting process is like planting a seed and endowing it, you know, with kind of the life force so that it will grow. And in my experience, the past 2 years, I've been setting goals each month, and almost every one of them has happened, and they're pretty outlandish goals. And a lot of times they'll happen 3, 4, 6 months down the road after the goal has been set. And so that's one thing that we're doing with people, you know, every month, really consistently.
I want to touch upon that a little bit. When you said you're setting these goals, and you set a new goal each month, but a goal may not be achieved until 3 or 4 months down the road. So it's almost like you got this track of goals, if you will. And, you know, you're it's like planting a garden. You know, you plant different vegetables and they grow it at their rate. Interesting.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think that's what we're doing a lot is our vision for whatever it is we're trying to create, you know, at the individual or group level is like a seed. And by thinking about it on a daily basis and giving it a little bit of love and attention, and then doing the things that come to mind, either in the moment or, you know, when you think of something, when you're doing the dishes or, you know, whatever it is, it's very much like planting a garden, and it's a very natural growth process. And that's what we've been able to take, you know, out of the garden and implement into a business, and do it in a way that doesn't talk about the spiritual aspect of it too much, but the practices themselves are so tangible that they leverage those principles. So the monthly goal setting is one aspect of it. There's about 7 or 8 of these practices that we are doing on a regular basis within the business. And there's 7 practices that I'm doing individually that collectively allow me to leverage all the some of the spiritual principles we talked about.
And how is this information managed? See, like, you know, everyone has their 7 things that they're working on. A lot of great things, right? I mean, because typically what we have found is that normally a person can have 7 direct reports and manage it comfortably. You can have 7 goals and manage it comfortably for that. But when you go, how many people you have? You have 120, 130 people. It's 1,000 some goals. So how do you manage that in your informational network that you have?
So with the monthly goals, each person has 1 goal each month that they're setting. And so we have a Google Sheet, which is, I find, no matter how big you get, you know, assuming there's your organization has a certain number of groups, and each of those groups only has a certain number of people, Google Sheets are usually a pretty good way of managing most things within those groups. So for our monthly goals, we have a spreadsheet called the monthly goals spreadsheet. There's a row for each person and a column for each month. And then each person goes into that goal spreadsheet on the first of each month and writes in their monthly goal. Wow. And that's it. It's that simple. And I think just, you know, there's a lot of studies that support this, but just the practice of having a monthly goal and reading it and thinking about it on a regular basis is, you know, a pretty huge difference between people who do that and people who don't do that in terms of the success and their accomplishments.
Wow. You know, we are running out of time, but we have a few minutes left, and I want to talk about this exciting project that you contacted me about getting together business leaders to really talk about these principles and spirituality. Share with our audience what this is all about and what you hope to gain with it.
Yeah. So, I mean, just what we talked about, right? So there are spiritual principles you can use to leverage, you know, a powerful force of growth in your personal life and in your business. And you know, whether you're religious or not, you know, there's a lot of evidence that these spiritual principles exist and can be leveraged to grow. And what we're doing is we're pulling together a group of business leaders who have had some experience with that or who that resonates with. and we're getting together to learn and to teach each other ways of using spirituality in business in a way that's not hokey and that's very tangible, that can create a lot of growth for the business and a lot of good for the employees and the business owner, business leaders and owners of the business as well. So pulling that together now.
Who is listening to this broadcast and this podcast, they say, oh man, I that's me 100%. How can they get in touch with you?
So we have a website setting up now. It's called dailysos.com. So spiritual operating system is the working name, because using spirituality as the as an operating system within your life and your business. And so dailysos.com, people can go there and find out more about the program. And we're going to be doing a 42-day challenge for a beta group of users who can come together and learn some of these principles, learn a number of the practices, those personal practices, as well as the business practices, and learn from each other and hopefully start to see a decent amount of success in a short period of time, and then have that connection with each other so that we can continue putting, you know, our spirituality first in the way that we're leading in business.
Very nice. Now, the book that you have written, has it been published yet?
Not yet, no. You know, when I finished writing the manuscript, I realized if my goal is to share this with as many people as possible and to actually, you know, change the world and help people implement it, then there's better systems for helping people implement. So there's better ways to help people implement systems than a book. And so we're going to create this community. We have an app that we're creating that's going to help business leaders and employees implement some of these practices in their business. And then the book, I think, will be more of a kind of a something that we can offer to members as kind of a handbook, but not something that we're going to necessarily try to sell on in bookstores.
Gotcha. And so what will be the, are you free to share the name of the book at this point?
I think we'll just call it the Spiritual Operating System.
SOS. All right.
SOS. Yeah. And it's fitting because a lot of the people out there, I think employees and business leaders, looking for help, right? As a business leader, I found before I started putting this first, I was either not growing as quickly as I wanted to be, or even when I was working too hard and I wasn't happy and I was frustrated, you know, with myself and my colleagues. And so I screamed for help. And so if other people are out there feeling the same way, then they can just write SOS and we can help them out possibly.
Beautiful, beautiful. What final words would you like to leave with our audience as we close out our discussion today?
Oh boy. Just the idea that, you know, there's a life force out there that you see all around you that is responsible for growing everything, from yourself to, you know, trees and everything in nature. And if you understand how to leverage that life force in your life and in your business, then you can grow more easily and more naturally than you ever thought possible. And that's, you know, what we'd like to explore together in the Spiritual Operating System. So if that's something that resonates with you, we'd love to have you come visit the site and join one of our groups and get together with us.
Troy, this has been a very, very fast 30 minutes. I don't know about you, but it flew by. You're sharing some great information. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Mr. Troy Lavinia, co-founder and CEO of Stream Research Group, but also he is going to be launching the SOS, which is the
Spiritual Operating System.
Spiritual Operating System. All right. Troy, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thanks, Darrell. It's great to be here.
Ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up for this weekend on Leadership with Darrell W. Gunter on WSOU 89.5 FM. Have a great weekend, but remember, leadership begins with you.